Hello folks, it's your friend Bernie here and welcome to another Co-Working Visionaries podcast. Visionaries podcast is a series we do with our friends Helga and Igor at AmCards, where we run around the world and look for people who have, who are outside the normal people you hear about every day online in co-working, and people making a difference in their own communities and own areas of the world. And in this Visionaries episode, our guests are Sean and Erica from Hatch Co-Working, which is in Asheville in North Carolina in the United States. And they have built a vibrant co-working space that's more than just a place to work and get a desk. It is a community. And their story is really remarkable. They started with like six people in a co-working space. They accidentally took over and now have, I think it's like 300 members. And they've done that from the pandemic to the point in time where we're publishing this, which is at the end of 2024. So they grappled with the challenges of the COVID-19 lockdown pandemic and transformed their vision into a thriving co-working hub. And it's a real story to, it's amazing the adaptability and the innovation they've shown in quietly building this community, which is like very highly connected. And what sets Hatch apart is its blend of professionalism and this sense of community, and they have these diverse events, like from music festivals to cheese and wine parties, that really generate connections and engagement in their community a little bit every day. And I think that's the lesson from this episode, is not some one-off stunt. It's being in the building with your people every day and making sure they're connected and knowing each other and building that sense of community inside your co-working space and outside your co-working space. So sit back, relax, get into this episode, look in the show notes for the links to their Instagram and their websites, and get connected and be careful out there, folks. It is a jungle.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this week's edition of the world famous, I promise you that's true, Co-Working Values podcast. And all the way from Asheville in Carolina, we have Erica and Sean. So, folks, can you introduce each other, please?
So, I'm Sean Como, one of the co-owners of Hatrix Co-Working.
And I'm Erica Gifford. Yeah, and we are partners in life and partners in business.
So, how did you two get started in the co-working industry? Did you wake up one day and think, my goodness, I'm going to move to Asheville and open a co-working space, or did it happen another way?
Well, Bernie, I got to tell you, in the middle of COVID, my house was pretty open and I had an office upstairs, but we would both be on meetings at the same time and somebody would have to like go in the bedroom. And it got to this point where it was either find an outside office or murder each other. And we decided to find an outside office.
And at that point, had you ever heard of co-working or?
Yeah. Sean had worked at WeWork in New York.
Yeah.
And then prior to the pandemic, my company, we had an office, so I hadn't ever really co-worked, but I did understand office culture.
And then did you come to Asheville as a result of COVID or something else? Like, how did you end up in there?
I have lived in Asheville for 16 years, and Sean and I were dating long distance. He was in New York, so we had been dating for what, 2 years before that?
3 years.
And going back and forth from New York to Asheville, there's a direct flight, which is really nice. And so when COVID hit, I was like, babe, come quarantine with me for 2 to 3 weeks to slow the curve. It'll be so much fun.
And I've been here ever since. And now we own a co-working space.
So you went from commuting, working in our friends WeWork, to owning a co-working space in Asheville. That is quite amazing. So what is it? I know this always sounds a cheesy question, but what do you think makes your co-working space special? Because, you know, there's some little magic going on there. And what do you think it is?
Well, thank you. And we have been asked that question before, and we are always trying to identify what the special sauce is. But at the end of the day, I think Erica and I we're both focused on community building and we're aligned in those focuses without talking to each other or previously knowing. And so we've done a lot of community events. One of the first things we did was we started a wine and cheese happy hour on Thursdays. Nobody was talking to anybody at this time. It was very faux pas to do that sort of thing, but we said, okay, we're going to do it. So we'd sit at this table eating wine and cheese by ourselves for the first couple, and then slowly people would make their ways to the table and have some cheese at 6 feet apart. And before you know it, that became one of our staple events, and people that are brand new here are able to meet other people. So we socially engineered community in a way that, you know, I don't know that other spaces have it, because when people come here into our space from other spaces, they go, you know, I've been at this other one and nobody talked to anybody, but you guys have somehow built this thing where now all of our people know how to do that. Everyone is an open book. Everybody's community driven. Would you agree?
Yeah. And as we've grown so fast, so quickly, we converted over from everything being manual to AND cards in October of last year. And the platform has been incredible at like just supporting and nurturing all of that connection with the feed, and also with like the events. We can put everything up there. People can message each other directly. If somebody is like, who's a good mechanic? That's one of the questions. Someone forgets their power cord. You got 15 people that say, I've got something for you.
Somebody's going to an event over the weekend and wants some people to join because they're new to town.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Who wants to go play pickleball at 4 o'clock? You know, it's been really cool to watch people connect. It feels like almost like candlelight service on Christmas Eve when they light the candles one off of another and suddenly everybody's
illuminates the room.
Yes. Yeah. That's totally how it goes.
When you did that first, you know, cast your mind back to the first cheese and wine, like how many people were in the space when you did that?
Maybe 8, maybe 10, 15.
Yeah. Not 15 yet.
No, not 15.
And was this in the middle of COVID or just coming out of COVID? Cause you said people were standing apart from each other.
Coming out. But I think, you know, Matt, while we were taking over, mandatory masks was still a thing in our city. And then even when that dropped, you know, our people, you know, some of them took them off immediately. Other people still wore them. So everyone was still wary for some time. It took about a year, even after that, for people to, I don't know, I guess completely embrace being together again. But we sort of artificially, move that needle a little forward.
And why, this might sound a weird question to everyone listening, but like, why did you choose cheese and wine to do that? Is that something that's like pertinent to the area or you just seen it somewhere else?
I didn't want it to be, coming from New York, I didn't want it to be like a finance bros kind of, oh, let's have some beer. Let's make it a frat party. I wanted it to be sophisticated. And people understand it, and it's non-intrusive. It's not, you know, beer and scotch. It's, you know, well, scotch is upscale, but you know, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not a party. This is
slam a glass of wine, do you?
Right.
No.
Right.
Go on, Erica.
Yeah. In my last office on Fridays, we would have wine at 4 all together. And it was like a nice way to come together at the end of a week and just have easy conversation and talk through things. It was just a great connection point.
There's something about food. And did, you know, can you tell me about that? Cause when I've been to your part of America, it is like food is just the thing, you know?
Well, yeah, in good ways and bad, but I think culturally across so many cultures, food is a very important thing. And especially like Middle Eastern cultures and Asian cultures, they come together around food and then they spend hours doing that. In New York, we would go to this one Italian restaurant on Sundays and we'd be there for hours. just, you know, with food on the table, wine on the table, and just spending time together as a family.
Yeah. And we just, I mean, we put out a spread each week and everybody noshes, and it's nice to snack and not have it be a, like, I don't know.
Something I want to ask, Sean, how did you feel? Did you notice, I mean, sure you did, sorry to ask it this way, but like, how did you feel about the pace between New York and Asheville? Is the business pace dramatically different?
Well, as we spoke about this earlier, there wasn't a really great young professional scene or a professional scene here. And it has since COVID grown to be that, but immediately at the pace to your question about the pace, I was like, whoa, I went from a run to a walk in the park. It was very different. It was jarring. Took me a while to adjust.
Especially because it was COVID. So everything was shut down. So it wasn't just New York to Asheville. It was like New York to the world being shut down in a new place where everything you would normally explore, it was closed. So.
Yeah.
So you went from 15 people eating cheese and wine, and where are you are now? How many people, if you ran a cheese and wine thing now, how many people do you think would turn up?
Like 50. Yeah, yeah. Probably about 50.
That's what we like to call a hockey stick curve, isn't it? And how long has it taken to get to the level of membership and engagement and everything like that? And can you like spell out that journey? Are there other people that are listening who are in a similar situation to you, you know, running an owner managed co-working space and it's their main business?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking, I'm like, okay, it's December of 2023 right now. And really we took it over almost 2 years ago, but not quite. So, it's, you know, we've had to put in the systems to support all the people. I think we're up to 300 members, and, we've doubled in size. We went from 2,500 square feet to then 5,000. And then now we're at 10,000 square feet. We, have built out an entirely new space and, put in a lot of phone booths, you know, just made it an environment where, you know, we have a library kind of noise policy where it's like, we don't allow anybody to be the loud person just talking out loud on their phone calls, you know, and we've given people all the opportunities to take calls discreetly and comfortably. So we've kind of, you know, through space provided those functionality improvements that really, you know, make it easy for people to work.
Yeah. I don't think we would have been able to expand as quickly as we did without AND cards, just to give them another plug, because it has been so instrumental in so many ways.
Yeah. And people have to get on the app. So when they access our doors, we did an integration, between AND cards and then our locking system. So they are literally logging on to AND cards to walk in or out of the doors. So they're always on it. So I think AND cards used us as a case study because they had not seen any other co-working space with as much interaction on the feed, just in terms of in general.
And members
and such exponential growth.
Can you say a little bit about how that works? Because, you know, obviously AND cards is my favorite co-working space software in the world, but other brands are available. And everybody in every co-working space I've ever met, that lack of contact affected us in particularly 2021 and 2022. You know, it's like, what a gift to be able to get back together.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's incredible.
That was an incredible feeling. And it took people a lot longer, I think, in other spaces to probably do that. But we tried to shake that off right away with, again, like the wine and cheese, just building community, inviting people to things.
And introducing people to people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
How do you do that, Erica? Because that is... I just do that without thinking, but, you know, how would you... If you had to, like, instruct someone how to do that, how do you do it?
How do you do that? Well, I think as an attendee to any event, just to say it, walking into the room and saying, you know, you find someone you know, or you start talking to someone, and then you ask them, who should I meet in this room? So like putting yourself out there, making your heart be open to that is like where you should position yourself mentally. But then there's so many people with so many interesting careers and side hustles and hobbies here. It's pretty wild. So it's fun to like, I tried not to talk about myself too much in general in life. I think it's easier for me personally to be like, do you know what so-and-so was doing? Like one of our members was the founder at DuckDuckGo. Isn't that cool? Or, you know, this other member of ours, she came up with the whole, is it cake thing during the pandemic? And she ran the viral video program at BuzzFeed. And then we have somebody who's working so hard to get rid of GMOs and all the pesticides here in America. And she started a foundation that is like taking on Monsanto's. It's so much fun to talk about other people and to take interest in other people. So then I'm like, have you met so-and-so? Have you met so-and-so? And that happens naturally at Wine and Cheese.
Yeah. We're pretty enthusiastic. They know where these beeps keep coming from. I apologize. But we take a vested interest in our people, and then we're able to share, you know, what we know with other people, especially if their careers align or their hobbies align or their interests align. We can say, oh, you should meet so-and-so.
Or if they moved here from the same place. Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. Oh, so-and-so, they're from New York. Oh,
yep.
Florida, California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause people have been moving here in droves.
So my last question is, cause I know we've got a little bit over time. I'm dying to ask this on your about page, which I'm going to deliberately direct people to in the show notes. There's a whole thing, you know, this is who we are. And then there's, you know, this is our co-working space. And there's a big section, which we kind of alluded to what we're talking about our community in the co-working space and our community outside the co-working space. And that, was one of the first things that caught my attention. So, you know, can you say about how you do that? And, you know, why is that important to you? Because it is important, but why is it important enough for you to put on your about page like that rather than we rent desks?
Well, we try to be anything but just a co-working space. That's pretty lifeless if you think about it. Just a place to work. What keeps people here? And I call it the golden handcuffs, because we're a month-to-month membership, but people stay. And part of that is the community that they build and the people they can meet here, because we do have an interesting bunch of people. One of the founders of DuckDuckGo, for instance, ton of great people like that. All similar ages. And then having so much to do outside of these doors, because people are so new here, they don't even know, you know, where to start in Asheville. And Asheville, you know, can be a pretty lonely place if you haven't gotten to know many people. So we try to make that happen immediately for people.
And I think that's who we are, that we are building community. That's how we view it. We've never looked at it as selling memberships. It's always been about building community.
Bernie, I wish you could visit.
Come visit, Bernie.
You'd...
And then we're going to come visit you. We'll stay with you. It's going to be great.
One day I'm going to do a world tour. And I've probably visited over 100 co-working spaces, but only a few in the US so far. And one of my biggest regrets is I drove past a co-working space called Co-working Tahoe. And I didn't realize I knew the person that ran it. And I didn't realize it was their space. And we were there for 3 days. And I just should have like left where we were and gone and said hello. But I really appreciate the invitation. We'll put all this in the show notes, but can you like shout out where people can track you down online and connect with you and all those kind of things?
Absolutely. It's hatchcoworking.com. And you can email us through there. You can give us a phone call. I mean, you know, we're here and available.
Our Instagram page is pretty live. Hatchworks Asheville, and that's hatch like hatch an egg, HATCH, at Hatchworks Asheville.
I really love the genuineness and the mix of art and co-working and people eating, and particularly if you like Star Wars, folks, go and check out that little riff on the Instagram page. Okay, really appreciate your time today. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, thank you very much. And can you go to your podcast app of choice and say, my goodness, I love that podcast, because that helps our show more than you will ever know. And thank you for your time and attention. Be careful out there. It is a jungle. Say goodbye, Sean and Erica.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Bernie.